You are listening to The Quarterdeck with your host, Benjamin Strong.
Hi, it's Ben Strong from Amber.com, and I'm joined by some friends from the National Weather Service. Paula, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. And I've got Jim with us as well.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Good, good.
Great. And we're going to talk a little bit about the Amber Seas program, which is a way for Amber participants to kind of kill two birds with one stone. They're providing weather observation to the United States, and probably used globally.
It is correct. Global, yes.
Okay. And they're sending their Amber position reports as well. But I should start this out by saying I get a lot of phone calls, maybe one or two a month, of people saying, you know, how do I download Amber Seas? Oh, I don't have a optical drive. I've got Windows 7. So today, let's see, perhaps we'll try to cover the whole gamut of what Amber Seas is and why we want to encourage ships to use the program, and then, you know, how to get it on your computer and if there are any changes coming. But I don't know, why don't we start with what actually is the Seas software? What's the program?
Basically, it's a way for the crew members to take the weather elements, observe them, and then put them into a piece of software that encodes it so that we can interpret that data with a computer. That's basically what it's about.
Now, why do you... I'm going to sound naive, but I'm going to assume that you're collecting this weather data because there aren't weather posts out in the middle of the ocean.
That's correct.
That's true. And we use it also for ground truth, for satellite data,
mm-hmm.
and buoys. We have, you know, because if we just had that without the ship data, we'd have nothing to compare it to for ground truth.
Okay.
And so it's really important. And for all the forecasts that's provided, we use the ocean data as a bias mm-hmm. for aviation forecasts, for open water forecasts, for everything.
So my experience with weather data at sea comes from the movie A Perfect Storm, where on the bridge of that fishing vessel, this weather map comes up off the fax machine.
That's correct. Yeah.
So you're collecting all this data, but you're also providing a product to mariners.
Right. Well, what's going to happen is we're going to take those weather observations that they send in, mm-hmm. and we're going to use them to make an analysis. And the way I tell the masters is, if I know what's happening now and I have a good computer model, I can tell you what's going to happen tomorrow and the next day. But if I don't know what's happening now, no matter how good my model is,
right.
I'm not going to be able to tell you what's going to happen tomorrow.
Okay.
So those observations become very important because that's the foundation for a good forecast.
Hence the need for ships to participate.
Correct.
And send you this information.
It's a win-win.
Yes.
What is there, you know, and a lot of folks ask on the Amber side, what's the cost of Amber? What does it cost a ship to participate in the weather observation program?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. We incur all the costs for transmissions if they use the SAT-C.
Okay.
And but if they do use email, that's usually absorbed. They can't even notice it on the cost-wise for the ship because it's such a small thing.
And actually we've done that from the Amber standpoint to figure out how big is an email with just, you know, not ones and twos, but just plain text.
Yeah.
And it's insignificant.
Right.
It really is. It's cents to send that email. So,
right.
And then the other advantage as the Amber guy from the Amber standpoint is that the information that's in that weather observation includes a position report, the IMO number of the vessel, its latitude,
its
longitude.
It doesn't have the IMO number. It has the call sign.
Call sign. Okay, thank you. But it's got an identifier.
That's correct.
So then we can plot the vessel along its path as well.
Right.
And now...
Well, when they do use the software, before they can create an observation, and it's going to... And we are upgrading it, and it mm-hmm. will be the same. They have to fill out what is kind of called an administrative page. Well, it will have all that pertinent data, the IMO. It'll have,
right.
you know, whether they have a medical staff, and it'll have mm-hmm. a lot of their metadata on it. So in case the Coast Guard does need it, you know,
right.
they know all the information, whether there
right.
is medical staff, where the location, all. So they will have the IMO if they need it.
Okay.
If they're registered through the Amber Seas program.
Right, right. And the advantage is that for the ship is that they're killing two birds with one stone.
That's correct.
They can send in their weather observation, they can have their AMFER message sent off to the to us, and it's one
and
less
for
transmission.
You, if they're doing the six-hourly weather observations,
right.
You get six reports instead of the, or eight reports instead of just the one.
Right, right. So it really enhances our ability to predict where a ship may be in reference to some kind of distress at sea.
Yeah.
Now, I guess I'll get to one of the big questions. I have a new laptop. I don't have an optical drive, or how do I? I won't even go that in depth. I pull into a U.S. port. How do I get AmberSeas onto my system, onto my computer?
You go to www.vos.noaa.gov. VOS is VOS, and then you would click on the PMO page.
That's Port Meter.
Port Meteorological Officers.
Thank you.
And it's on the left-hand side of the page, mm-hmm. and it brings up a picture of a map of the United States and shows all the places where PMOs, Port Meteorological Officers, are
right.
located.
Okay.
And then you just call the nearest one and say, hey, can you come help us?
Sure.
And we will certainly do that.
And we'll include a link to that on the show notes of this so that people can access it directly.
And they do have the capability of using a thumb drive to mm-hmm. download it,
okay.
as well as a disk. But we are in the process of using the software developer to enhance and improve and make it more compliant. So we will in the near future have a URL that they can just go to and download it right,
right.
on their computer,
okay.
laptop, whatever.
And I've talked to PMOs in the past and you know, from folks that have called us, different ships, and you know, I've never had a PMO say, oh, geez, I don't know. I mean, you folks like to go out on ships, and you like to meet the folks who are making the observations. And
that's
there's
how I make my living.
Right, and there's nobody. So, you know, to shippers who are listening and you're having trouble with your AmberSeas software, you know, you can we'll have a contact there, a link that you can follow in the show notes. But don't hesitate to call, because you guys are pretty nice, and you'll go out and you'll help that ship
absolutely
get situated.
Absolutely. Yes, and even if that particular PMO can't, if we know their schedule and they can give us a heads up on what port they will be in, we'll try to schedule it for some other port.
Yeah, that's
some
great.
Other time. But as far as the AMBER, we are updating that. One of the problems, I wouldn't say problem, but you know, holdbacks, was mm-hmm. it only had 13 waypoints on
right.
the software. But we've corrected that, and it'll basically be unlimited
wow,
in
okay.
the future. So that's one of the reasons why some ships would have to go to a commercial vendor for that, but mm-hmm. No longer, because we'll have unlimited waypoints.
Okay. So the accuracy and the ability to really find out where that ship is has been enhanced.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. How many messages, how many ships are reporting through the weather system, through the observation system?
Well, on a daily basis, probably somewhere between 3,000 and 4,000.
Okay.
That's worldwide.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, what's your ideal number? What's your ideal? I mean, every ship, obviously, but...
Yeah, that would be the ideal, but... No, that's actually pretty good. That's useful. You know, we'd like to have 5,000-6,000, certainly,
right.
but we're happy with the size of the fleet we have right now. And
sure.
As long as we're getting quality observations.
Right.
Right. That's the main thing. We have to really emphasize to the ships that we really need quality observations. We need them to, you know, be alert to... the data that they're sending us, because NSEP, OPC, mm-hmm. the people who take those observations and put them into the models, if their observations are holding data that's skewed and
okay.
off of bias, then basically they kick it out. We don't even get to
okay.
use that data.
Okay.
And that does happen because people, you know, the calibration is off, the adjustments are off,
right.
a lack of a good visit from a good PMO.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, right now I think we've got a really good comfortable number that we can handle well and make sure the quality is there.
So if a ship's crew has a question on just how accurate their instruments are for collecting weather data, a PMO can help them calibrate that as well?
Yes, we have report cards.
And report cards.
We do. We can.
Okay.
We have report cards, and if they want to know We certainly can send them a wonderful little PDF that will show them every element that they're observing.
Wow, okay.
And
if their equipment is flawed, we can help them correct it and get it back on track.
Now, does this, ships have a limited time in port. I know that you guys are very flexible as far as your ability to come out to the ship. Is there a cost to that? Does the charterer have to cough up some money or the shipping company? So these visits are complimentary. You come out, you can help kind of tune up the program, the instruments, and the software.
And even if they're not in the program, as a courtesy, we visit if we have the time. Of course, we put our VOS program ahead of the ships. But, even if they're not in the program. Because if that particular ship is in an area where they need the pressure reading, for some reason they're not in the program, they will be contacted for that data. And so it's real important to make sure that their instruments are reading correctly.
Right, okay.
So it's very, very important. Now, we go to all ships.
Great. Now, is this information shared worldwide as well? I mean,
yes,
is this just a U.S.
Yes.
thing?
There's three countries primarily that have supercomputers that are required to do the modeling. That's Germany, the United States, and Japan.
Okay.
And we share all the data. Okay. Among those countries.
Now, how about the Met Office in the UK or the World Meteorological
Observations? They're part of the European community,
okay.
So they fall under the German collection agency.
Got it. Okay. So these products go beyond, say, the North Atlantic or the Pacific. These are products that a mariner in the Indian Ocean may get.
Southern Hemisphere, the whole thing.
Okay.
Okay.
Do you see an increase? Or, well, let me ask this. Is there an area in the world where you could use more information and perhaps you don't have a lot of reports coming from?
The run between Chile and New Zealand is particularly devoid of information.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's an area where we're constantly seeking out ships that are on that route.
Okay.
That would be precious if we could get good data, any data in that area. Yeah.
Right. Now, how about the Arctic? Is there talk about the Arctic or trying to increase, I don't know if surveillance is the right word, but reporting from the Arctic?
Oh, definitely. We need more ships there. There are two there right now in the South Pole. It's like the Palmer and the Lawrence Gold. They're research vessels, and they're down there. But there's not very many on the pole, the Arctic.
I mean, I know there's such an emphasis on shipping in the Arctic or the Northern Sea Route and the Northwest Passage. The Northwest Passage. And, there's a certain school that says there are going to be so many ships up there. Obviously, you're going to want weather reporting. And then there's another school of train of thought that says, just because there's not ice or it's ice-free doesn't mean there's no ice. But, even if there's bits and pieces of ice, there's fog and there can be a host of different navigational issues. So I can see where the polar regions may be important to you from a weather observation standpoint.
It's important for them to send their ice reports.
Mm-hmm.
And we even have on our software mammal recordings.
Okay.
And so we're really tied in full circle with environmental concerns. So anything that they view that's out of the normal in their shipping area.
Mm-hmm. So they can do ice reporting as well through this?
Yeah.
Really? Okay. Does that tie in with the International Ice Patrol?
Yes. Yeah. That's forwarded to them.
Okay. Interesting. All right. And we just did for listeners of the podcast, we recently did an interview with the International Ice Patrol as they're getting ready to commemorate the 100th anniversary of Titanic sinking, which is why the Ice Patrol and AMVER were founded. That's good to know that there's really a one-stop reporting shop as far as we found whales or there's...
Right whale sightings, kind of things are all available to be reported in our software.
Fantastic.
And even, we're really marine debris, all the tsunami debris coming from Japan, we're looking at that too.
Interesting.
And so we're encouraging ships that if they do see any, that they need to report the lat and long, their idea of what they're looking at and send it in. That's really getting to be the big buzz right now, the marine debris.
In fact, that's one of the, for folks who are maybe a little geekier interested in the types of visitors that come to the AMVER website, one of the most searched terms is Japanese tsunami debris.
Yeah.
And we had written a story, I'll include a link to it, but we had written a story about tracking that debris, and I know that NOAA's got some efforts to track that debris, but that's one of the main search terms to get to AMVER is where is this debris. So if there's a way for ships to report that, through seas, then I think that's important that we share that as well. That's good. I didn't know that. That's great to know. So,
wow, this is good.
Well, it's exciting things are happening with Amber Seas. Hopefully we can get some of those Chile to New Zealand vessels that we have to start sending the weather observations, and we'll make sure that folks that have any questions or troubles or concerns about either their instruments, their collection, or their Amber Seas software, that they know how to get a hold of their PMO, and they can get things tuned up. One last question. Are there PMOs in foreign ports?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, okay.
And you can go, we have, it's called Find a PMO. Where in the world is a PMO? And
right.
This was put on by Australia and New Zealand. They've got this little website. It's wonderful. You have to download Google Earth,
mm-hmm.
and then it'll explain to you how to download their software. But it's Find a PMO. Google Find a PMO, because I can't remember the website off the top of my head. But
well, we'll work on that offline, and I'll include a link to that here
wonderful.
As well.
It's wonderful. They got the whole globe. They've got all the PMOs in the world right there at your fingertips.
And their contact information, so if you need to contact.
Fantastic.
And most of them have a
And there's
face.
Like 37 countries or something that have PMOs.
Oh, wow, okay.
And also, I mean, there's always on our website for VOSS,
mm-hmm.
We have the Mariner's Weather Logs, the PDF file right there,
right.
And in the very back, we have every PMO contact right there, headquarters, the individual PMOs,
mm-hmm.
so we have all that information.
Thank you for reminding me about the Weather Log, the Mariner's Weather Log, because you have this magazine that you put out, is it quarterly?
No, three times a year.
Three times a year. But this is where you highlight different sea stories. That's perhaps not the right phrase.
No,
but
I mean,
the good works that the ships are doing,
right.
changes to the program,
marine interest, human right. interest stories from the crew's perspective,
right.
Weather, mm-hmm. sightings, anything.
I just wrote an article about the Tear of Grief. I'm sure you can see the Tear of Grief from your office.
Probably can, exactly.
That'll be the cover story on the next issue for
right.
August, actually.
Oh, good. All right. Well, I thank you guys for taking some time to kind of share the Amber Seas story with us, and I hope that, again, any of our Amber participants that have questions or trouble will reach out to the PMOs. We'll have links to everything. And
give me a call.
I appreciate it. Good. Thank you guys very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
You have been listening to The Quarter Deck. Learn more about the Amber program at amber.com. The Quarter Deck theme song is called Botany Bay by the Blackguards. Available at musicalley.com or follow the link in our show notes.
I'm on the way down to the quay where the good ship and anchor lays. To command the gang of navvies, they told me to engage. Well, I thought I'd stop and for a pint before I went away. But I take a trip on an emigrant ship to the shores of...